I don't know how to start this. Hello. Let's just start with how you doing today?
I'm doing doing well. Yeah. It's a nice little overcast day. I did a hike that
I actually really like this.
Yeah,
it's been
this is
for like 2 weeks.
Because it's gonna get to the point where it's hot
all the time.
Yeah, we're just talking about the weather.
Oh yeah. Get out!
I'm sorry. I told you. But yeah, before it gets horribly hot.
You're an asshole, aren't you?
I don't know. I started talking about the weather, and that's
I'm not Seinfeld, okay? If anything, I'm Jason Alexander. What's his name? I always call him Jason Alexander. What's his character's name?
Fuck.
George Costanza.
George, thank you. Oh gosh. Yeah, George Costanza. So a very George Costanza-y start talking about the weather. Today's been nice. Today's been a great temperature. Mildly overcast.
You're talking about the fucking weather right now?
How's your day been?
It's basically the same shit every day, though.
Yeah.
Like, how do you feel about your days in Los Angeles as you get older?
The days that I don't have things to do are starting to drive me crazy.
Your body's just melting.
It's right. Like, yeah. We were kind of talking about it earlier. I was like, you have to give yourself things to do because for me, it's so
easy. I like having a schedule.
Easy. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I like hanging out with you guys.
Right. Because
like,
we give ourselves
just
things
to just
do.
Stuff? Yeah,
let's
not?
Just meet up and then figure out once we get there what to do.
Yeah,
but at least there's something to do. It's so easy. I live alone. I live in a studio, and there's countless days where I'm like, I don't need to get out of bed for anything. And I'll like lay in bed and watch TV from my bed till like 5 p.m. Until I'm horribly depressed. And then I'm like, now I have to take a shower or something.
I remember I did that one time. It was literally like either I just watch more of the same show.
Right.
Or I just eat more food that I don't really have.
Right, right.
Or I get out and do something.
Just little
things. And you know what? I did. I got out and I went to go see the Lego movie in theaters.
Oh, you did?
Lego movie 2.
Nice. Yeah.
Not bad.
There you go. Okay, good. Good to know.
Welcome to Conversations from a Room. I am here with a very beautiful man and a wonderful guest, Maxwell Hamilton.
Oh, thank you. Far too kind.
Well, thank you so much for being here, man.
Thank
I'm glad
you
you're here to join
me.
In on this little passion project of mine that
I've
been doing.
This is awesome.
I'm That's up to cool three setup. Followers now.
Hey!
Thank you so
much.
For
Gotta
all those
somewhere.
Of you who don't know, this is my show. I'm Christian Lugo.
Christian Lugo.
As we said before, it's a wonderful day in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Mildly overcast. And I like it that way, so let's keep it that way.
Yes.
And in order to keep it that way, more litter. Anyways, Max, I'm so glad you're here.
Yes.
We've become very close lately.
Yeah.
We've been working together. We've been doing some sketches.
Fresh of breath air.
That's it.
By you, I'd say that you're probably the spearhead.
I wanted to start doing some fun stuff, and I wanted to start working with some fun people. So that's how it works, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I think that we're taking the fresh of breath air in a really fun direction, and I'm excited for what we're shooting tomorrow.
So let's talk about like real stuff. How did you start acting?
I started acting from a little kid. It was like I was just one of those kids who was always performing. I remember like in elementary school we set up like a fake little economy and everyone had these like mini jobs and I just brought in like a pile of jokes and I would just read jokes and people would like give me the fake money and I'd read them a joke and I was like, great, this is what I'm gonna do.
Oh really?
Yeah. That's I never did stand up.
Do you remember any of the jokes you told? Like,
oh,
at least
gosh,
one?
No, I remember it was from this set of like little orange cards and they were just little one liner. If anything, they were like conversation starters.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I was working on a budget.
You should use
that
now whenever you go on a date.
Yeah, just bring my
stack of conversation tried that one time.
Starters.
Yeah, just like
hi,
like,
nice to meet you. And then just like immediately
like flashcards.
Put on your glasses and you're like so
what do you think of the color blue?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah. Check please.
Yeah.
Did
you have like ADD as a kid? Were you
definitely
like, were you like
so bad.
Was it in a good way where you felt like you were creative enough to like you know, use that energy to do good stuff, or were you getting in trouble all the time?
I was definitely starting by getting in trouble all the time.
I was getting in trouble all the time because I was just this ball of energy.
Were you the same, like, class clown, just always needing
class clown
to entertain
every year,
people.
Like, high school, middle school, it was insane.
Right, absolutely.
Benny's here to join us for this podcast.
Yeah. Class clown, and people did, you know, before people started taking, I guess, me seriously in any regard of that, I was just annoying.
What's that like?
I was
being taken seriously. Because I don't know anything about
it. Sorry, let me rephrase. But when I get taken seriously, I will then think.
I don't know what that feels like. No one takes me seriously.
Yeah, but it was definitely just getting in trouble all the time. I remember, like, my parents, you know, they put me on Ritalin.
Adderall?
Ritalin, yeah. Mm-hmm. For me it was Ritalin. I remember one time they gave me Concerta. It's kind of the same thing, but just, like, I guess it was, like, longer lasting. And I remember I was, like, a 12-year-old kid, and it was, like, 4 in the morning, and I was wired. And I was, like, knocking on my parents' door, like, being like, you did this to me!
What?
Yeah, they gave me, like, a one-day trial.
Just, like,
yeah,
just, like,
and I was like, you did this to me! You did this to me! Let's clean the house! Time to clean the house!
I fixed the garage door, by the way!
I don't even know electronics! Yeah.
That was insane.
A horrible day with Concerta.
So did you take the initiative of knowing when to stop taking these medications, or did your parents suggest it?
My parents suggested it. I was always against it. I never liked it. I think that Ritalin always made me, like, a little more aggressive and, like, kind of pissed off throughout the day.
Isn't that nuts?
I didn't like it.
Like, it's not a thing anymore.
Yeah, no.
Because
no.
We were the guinea pigs.
We were the, yeah, to kind
of for
test,
that sort of,
test
exactly. Because they were new. It was like our time, our generation.
Kids probably are still doing, like, still having Adderall, but, like, it's just much more well understood where it was, like, every morning.
The thing is that with us, it was Adderall and Four Loco, so it was a little harder on us.
True.
That was our time. We literally did test out everything.
The streets. Yeah, true. We were the bit,
Because, see, for me, I had to tell my parents, like, look, I can't take this anymore.
And they
were just like, oh, that's fine. But they didn't know. Like, they were just like, make sure, you know, you're getting your stuff done. And if it helps to take, you know, your medication, take the medication. So
I remember my mom would have to watch me put the pill in my mouth.
Oh, gosh.
And I would put it under my tongue, and then she would drive me to school. And throughout the half an hour ride to school, I'd find a way to bring it out
and drop
it in the side of the door.
Yeah, because you're a kid. You don't
I just
know
didn't
any
like
better.
How it made me feel. I was pissed off. I was like wanting to fight, but like, Not like wanting to fight, but like a teacher would be like, Max, are you paying attention? And I would have been like, no! No, I'm not!
I'm so fucking high on Adderall!
Yeah, I was like, I'm a fucking meth lady, don't you know?
Yeah, it was basically meth for kids.
Yeah.
Man, that's insane.
Yeah. And then I was still prescribed it throughout college, but by then I had figured out I was like, if I'm doing any acting classes or any theater classes throughout the day, I'm not going to take it because it was limiting creativity.
No, it was essentially like a weird trip, you know?
Yeah.
Because
it's meth.
Yeah.
It is.
I took it in middle school and I took it in high school, and the worst thing about it too is it would make me nauseous because, this was before I even knew how to take vitamins. Now I can't take vitamin C before having a meal, you know what I mean? Because you have to take food with and all that. But I didn't know that. So as a kid, the first thing I would do is I'd get to class and I would feel nauseous. I had to leave, throw up.
It was
a whole thing. Yeah, grinding your teeth for
definitely.
Sure. You know, it was just like, it made you more, it's kind of like how we are now. And if you have a cup of coffee, you're just kind of just like jittery. You
absolutely.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I can't even drink coffee anymore. Cause it was just
true. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think maybe that's why I drink so much coffee is cause I'm never going to hit that high that I had when I was 13 on
it's
Ritalin.
It's weird to me when, when people like in college or like today take Adderall just cause it's just like,
yeah, people nowadays will do. I've admitted, like, I took an Adderall from my neighbor sometime in the last year, just because I had a bunch of work to do, and then he had a bunch, and I was like, yeah, like, you know, like, Venmo you $8 or something, and I took one, and I lost my mind.
Really?
I hiked Griffith twice that day. I went up, I went down, and I was like, I'm not done, and I went up again.
And then I built another mountain, and I hiked that one.
Yeah, but I was just, like, it just doesn't work for me. I just become a psycho.
So, yeah, that's why I feel like we have so much in common because we're very like curious, like kind of goofy and just like fun people.
Yeah.
And it was sparked as when we were kids. Like
yes.
The way
definitely.
I am even now, it's like if I think it's funny when I was 13, I'm gonna think it's hilarious.
Definitely.
Now, you know what I mean?
Now,
I'm very catered to like the child in me, like make sure I always remember where I came from, who I am, and why I do this. And
definitely.
I feel like you're like that too.
Yeah. If anything, it's funnier now because it's not supposed to be funny
for
a 27-year-old man.
Like it's so like Rachel and I have this conversation all the time where she's like, you should be an adult, and I'm like, but I'm a child, yeah, man.
Like, I don't want to be an adult.
And because I feel like that sort of young mentality, that sort of creativity is what gets me places, you know? It kind of it helps me get out of my head, you know? Because it's like, what do I have to lose?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's cool, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so when did you start getting really serious into acting?
After you
wrote your stupid children jokes.
Yeah, right, right. Once I realized that my stand-up career was not going to go well in middle school, I threw that away. It was high school. It was like a very high school musical type of situation.
Yeah.
I went to a very small school. So before I say I was on the varsity baseball team as a freshman, all you had to do was sign up. So there was no competition.
Wow.
So I was on the baseball team my freshman year, and that was super cool, and I loved it. And then the next year came around, and then it was time for like the musical, and I was like, I kind of want to do it. And I was also a part of this like after it was a children's community theater program that was like really good and, mm-hmm. and like well respected in the area, and I kind of got my foot in there, and I threw sports away and just started doing that like full time. And it wasn't just like, you know, the spring musical and the fall play that mm-hmm. I think is nationwide for most schools. It's like there's a play in the fall and then the spring
musical.
Like,
and they tell you at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and then
like,
you know the spring
the
musical,
yeah.
But the spring musical is like the big one at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Every season there was another play at this community theater. And once I started, like, I don't even remember, I say this all the time, like, I don't remember much from high school. I remember just being at that community theater with like those friends. But like this high school that I went to, I was like, God, I keep in touch with like two people. I
really?
Don't really have any memories there. Like mm-hmm. it was, I had to be there for 8 hours and pass the classes mm-hmm. so I could go to that after.
Why didn't your school
program.
Have a theater program?
They did. It was just very small. I know, actually we were pretty good, but there wasn't a lot of, it just wasn't the same. There was this like very kind of like competitive environment that mm-hmm. I really liked after school. It was called the Norris Theater in Palos Verdes, and it was just that, like, that's what I remember from high school. So I think then, once I realized that I was sacrificing other things like sports and baseball to do more of this, I was like signing up for dance classes, and I was like, what am I doing? Am I gay? And I didn't answer that question until like yesterday.
we'll get back to that.
Yeah, yeah. But once I was doing that, and like I was just like the musical theater at the time, it was musical theater, was my life. And I was
awesome.
That's what I'm going to do.
That's kind of what happened with me too. I mean, like I did theater I started in middle school.
Got it, right.
And I remember when I was growing up, I wanted to do art, you know, like
nice.
Like actual
oh, really?
Commercial
like painting
art.
And,
yeah,
oh,
like
cool.
painting and all that.
Wow.
And I was going to take it super serious, and then my mom suggested to go to a magnet school for it. And I was like,
nice.
Look, I would like to go to a magnet school, but I would like to do theater. And she was like, yeah, sure, go ahead. So I did my first monologue when I was like 10, 13, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then I did done theater since middle school, went to high school. And then I also did that too. I played lacrosse. I was also in sports.
Nice.
And then I had to choose between doing baseball. The whole podcast is fucked.
We gotta start from the beginning.
I had to choose
it's
between doing
start
from the top. But anyways, yeah, I was kind of in the same route where I started to fall more in love with theater than my other activities.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how you knew, like, I'm gonna do this forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's funny too, because a lot of people change out of whatever they studied or they like to do in high school or college. But I felt very early on, it was like, this is what I'm good at. Why not just keep going forever?
With it? Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Especially when I was probably in the lower half of most other things where mm-hmm. I was usually trying to just catch up.
Yeah,
this was one of the one things that I was kind of not excelling, but I felt comfortable and was doing well.
Yeah,
and was kind of accepted in that realm.
You feel like it's something that you're good at, or do you feel like it's also like a therapy to you?
Oh, definitely. Well, a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've always enjoyed it, and then I feel very like, say like a scene ends, whether mm-hmm. you know, theater or if it's for like a film or TV thing or like mm-hmm. a, you know, camera thing. I feel very rewarded at the end most of the time. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's like, well, oh my God, what was I thinking?
Yeah. You don't ever really feel rewarded unless someone told you that, hey, that was a good performance.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Because you never really know if it was good or not.
Exactly.
You know?
But and I think that's the thing that most people are attracted to with acting is it's one of the very few jobs that when you're done with your job, mm-hmm. people clap.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
you
people
get,
don't
you
walk
get,
out
like,
of the office.
For
yeah,
your work.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is
and
amazing.
That's probably especially for, you know, teenagers, but, you know, it's a very popular time for people to get attracted into mm-hmm. acting because yeah. they have that support.
Yeah, yeah. It's a high that you just can't get anywhere in any definitely. Other profession. It's insane.
Yeah, exactly.
That's definitely why I keep it up, because I just like the people like me, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, it's true, though. Yeah, I mean, it's yeah. you know, you don't get that in any, like, people don't, you know, sign out of their 9-to-5 job, and as they're walking out the exit, the boss is yeah. standing there like, good job today, Mike. Hey, really good job.
Yeah, you're lucky if he even looks you in the eye.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So this is one of the few jobs that you really get that type of support, I guess is the mm-hmm. word. But then there's also the therapeutic side. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, because, like, you actually get to be someone you're not. You exactly. know, like, you feel more like yourself when you're performing exactly. as opposed to when you're just at home because you're just sitting there.
Right. I'm not
you
know? Doing anything.
You're not doing
I'm not
anything.
Acting,
you're not expressing your the heartbeat
yeah,
that
exactly.
you have,
just
you know?
Laying in bed watching Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, yeah, it is nice to perform. Yeah. It is like a, that's why I feel like, you know, like, if you want to do this professionally and forever, like, you'll know.
Yeah.
Because, like, it'll resonate in your body like
absolutely.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There was this, this is like a quick story. There was this exercise in college. So I was going to acting school in college.
Those are always the weirdest.
They were, yeah.
We
had this
like acting exercises pretty much anywhere.
We had a couple of those classes that were like those stereotypical theater classes.
Oh, yeah,
what
yeah.
the heck
yeah,
is going
yeah.
on?
It's just weird. Aren't those the weirdest? And like, I've come to a point where I have adapted. So like, I'll commit. Like,
right.
oh, we're going to pretend we're tomatoes
yeah,
and just scream
great.
At the sky.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, act like a cucumber. Whatever that means to you. Yeah. You have half an hour.
Yeah, great. I'll lay down.
yeah. And it's just like, that is the weirdest thing. But it does really get you out of your body and kind of make
yeah.
you like, but it is such a weird experience.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember this class, and he had us all in a line. And this was, I think, when we were nearing graduation. It might have been our fourth year. And he kind of put us down in a line and went down the line and said, you know, your plan B, like, if acting doesn't work out, what are you going to do with your life? And it was a very serious, he's like, look, this is tough. A lot of you guys are going to throw in the towel. So let's talk about this. Went down, and I remember my friends were saying, you know, I'm going to be a baker, and I'll be a, you know, going down the line of all the other things. I'll be a legal attorney. I don't know. And he got to me, and I was like, I got nothing. I was like, I'll take the F for this assignment, but ooh. I was like, I will be Spider-Man on Hollywood Boulevard if this doesn't go well. I was like, I can't do anything else. That's the scary part of, like, this is the only chance
yeah.
I have to make a living at all.
I feel the same way. It's
yeah.
the only thing I'm good at.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's I remember that, especially with this business, you know, the people kind of get comfortable with plan Bs and whatnot, and it's totally realistic and, you know, respectable. I just don't have anything else that I think I can do. I think I said producing, which is still
mm-hmm.
in the same thing.
Field,
and I do
yeah.
it. Yeah, and I do that as well.
But even then, it wouldn't fulfill
God,
that,
no.
that love you have, or that it'll still be a hole. You know what I mean?
Definitely. It's not half as gratifying finishing a production as, like, I've done work as
mm-hmm.
like a production coordinator or a manager. Not half as satisfying at the end.
What did your professor say?
I think he gave me an F, and I never graduated. No, okay. I think he, like, I don't know. He kind of like smirked and smiled, and I think I don't know.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
was one of those weird teachers.
No, I know.
Mystical.
Yeah, because it's like there's no way that something can fulfill that sort of feeling you get when you're performing.
Definitely,
you know what I mean? Like,
definitely.
Even the preparation for it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing a role. Like. Trying to memorize the lines, like even reading a play, as you're trying to read the lines, you're getting into that character.
Absolutely.
You're trying to find the physicality, you're trying to find the mentality and like the emotions that this person would feel. And
yeah.
there's something about
that's
like
a really fun
there's
part.
Something about like thinking of something bigger than yourself, thinking
yeah.
of like you're almost out of your body and looking into yourself.
Yeah.
And like you're in a different universe, you know, because you're not worried about like, oh, I gotta go home and finish laundry and then I got to meet up with so-and-so. Like, no, you're creating something that's not yourself. You're out of your head. You
right.
know what I mean? So that sort of feeling, yeah, it is cool to direct or it is cool to produce.
Right.
But it is still, you know, you don't feel like you're working with your acting, you know? Like, it's work because it's physically, like, daunting.
Right.
And it could be. But you feel like you feel like you're putting more heart and soul into it. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
I'm not going to put a lot
and
of heart and soul
really
into like
the rewarding part.
Yeah.
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, you feel like this is what I was born to do.
Absolutely.
You know?
When
that's
you
why
have like the free time to, and you decide to use that free time to
mm-hmm.
work on this and make it better and
mm-hmm.
improve yourself, that's when you know.
I have a similar story to that exercise you did.
Yeah.
When I was in college, I had to take a makeup class, like
oh,
a
nice.
You know, stage
yeah, yeah,
makeup
yeah.
and all
yep.
that. And I was notorious for being late.
Nice.
Almost every day.
Yeah.
To the point where I got an award for it at the end of the year. Like, the guy, like, it was kind of, it was like the Mission Impossible. Nice, like, yeah. Because I was, like, the kid who would, like, either make it at the very last second or I would sneak into class late. So they called, I was, like, the Mission Impossible.
Nice, nice.
But I was taking a makeup, like, stage makeup class, and it was the last day of the class. Like, it was senior year, last day of the class, and our assignment was to do clown makeup. Like, we had to make our clown. Like, do the clown that we see ourselves as.
Right.
And I was, like, probably already, like, 15, 20 minutes late to class. And I burst in. Everyone's got their clown makeup on, putting all their shit away. And I'm just, like, sweaty, like, oh, I'm so sorry. I know I'm late. I promise you. Let me do my clown, please. I don't want to fail this class. And before I can even finish, the teacher puts her hands on my shoulder and she goes, "Look, you're wearing your makeup right now. You are the clown.
Oh,
that is you. You are. You don't need to put on the makeup. You are the clown."
Yeah.
And I was like,
thank you.
And she let me pass.
Hell yeah.
Because she was like, you already have that whole and she character. Knew me as like a goofy, right. Like, animated guy.
Who needs to put on makeup then?
And she was like, yeah, you don't need the makeup. You are the clown. And
oh, that's
I will
great.
Never, ever forget that.
That is
dude.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great story.
Yeah. And she was a really mean, like, strict, kind of bitter woman.
Sure, sure.
And so for her to do that for me, I was like,
that's cool. For the one who was like, always
it redeemed
late.
Everything. Yeah. She was always a hard ass on me, awesome. Always giving me a hard time. And then that day, I didn't even. She was like, "You, this is your clown.
You are the clown.
You are the clown." Yeah, yeah.
And then she means that in a good way.
Oh yeah, in a total like humbling way. She was like, "Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
this is your. You are the clown makeup. You are it. You know." And I was like, "Cool, awesome,
cool. Great." So I pass, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go get some food. You guys want anything? Yeah.
Why were you? If you don't mind me asking, were you notoriously late for most classes? Was it like in college, an organizational thing, or were you overbooked yourself with other things and you're always running back and forth?
I just was a
things.
Bad fucking person. I was just late to everything. I just left my house late. I was terrible, terrible. That's why I'm always late to Julio's. I'm terrible at time. Yeah. It all checks
out. So that's just kind of what a part of like at work, like you might be like,
that's why when you got here, I was late to set the shit up.
Okay, yeah, okay.
I'm terrible. That's so, I try as much as I can to do everything good. But there's one thing that I will say I'm terrible at is time management.
Time management?
I will try everything I can to make it better, but I'm 27 now. I don't think it's going to
be
any better.
This is who I am. Take me or leave me, baby.
It's like this meme that's like, I'm sorry I'm late. I just didn't want to be here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Cool.
So, I mean, yeah, it was very, because, you know, I didn't live on campus. I went to school.
Got it.
Yeah, I went to school in Miami where I grew up.
Right.
So I lived from
home.
You
lived at home.
And it was like 30 minutes away.
Right.
You know, it's like if I had to go from like here to like,
yeah,
like Pasadena,
like,
you know,
mom's cooking breakfast. I'm not gonna.
Oh no, mom never cooks breakfast. Okay. Yeah, yeah. My mom doesn't even cook anything. In fact, the meals I remember the most as a kid were Kid Cuisine.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh god. Yeah.
I had
yeah.
so many Kid Cuisines growing up.
You had, and you have brothers and sisters, right?
I am the oldest. I have one sister. I have two. Okay, I'm the oldest. Okay. I have a sister in college and a brother in college.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah. Cool. Nice. So yeah, but so
and they're way better than I am. What
got
about
it.
You?
I have two sisters. Mm-hmm. My older sister is about 5 years older, and she went to college, and she lives in an RV with her husband, but they mm-hmm. use it to travel. They're traveling. Mm-hmm. They're hitting all the national parks in the United States. It's like a couple year plan.
That's awesome.
And then
man.
They plan to just go abroad. I don't think they're ever going to settle down.
That's everyone's dream.
Yeah,
you know?
they're really really putting their money where their mouth is, which is really
really
cool. They're called the Vegan Voyagers. They're also
vegan.
They're vegan. So
cool.
Yeah, they have this whole like blog
that's
and
cute.
Like YouTube channel.
I should follow
and,
them.
Yeah, they're
what's
they're
their
cool.
Instagram?
At Vegan Voyagers.
All right, guys, check that out.
Yeah, different. So yeah. So they're doing that. My younger sister is about to move back to Los Angeles in a month, actually.
Cool, man.
She works in hospitality. She works at this really cool hotel
in Portland, right?
In Portland, yeah. And she's about to come start the branch in LA. So
awesome.
Everyone's kind of, we're all kind of different. I'd say my sisters are probably much more similar to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of, you know, I was the one guy, and so
you're the youngest too?
No, I'm in the middle.
Oh, the middle, yeah.
And they have like 7 years difference of them, but they click on like a sisterly thing that I'll never understand.
Yeah.
And I usually,
it's funny you say that, because
like
a lot of times
out.
I meet people who are like the only sister, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like my sister is the only sister. I have it's two brothers
and
a girl,
two, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, more than none, it's usually that case. But you're the one guy in a family of girls.
What was that like? It was alienating.
Yeah, really? Was it?
Well, I mean, not in, like, in a horrible way.
Yeah,
but,
But it's girls will be with the girls.
I think it was a very female based family. I think while my dad is an awesome dad, but was definitely working a lot when we were growing up. So it was my mom and my two sisters. Mm-hmm. So I just remember being around women when I was growing up.
Since you are, I guess, the artistic one in the family, you ever feel like people look at you as like the funny one or like the creative one?
Yeah. In fact, and that's kind of always a hurdle that I'm trying to do. Like whenever there's a family, my family, they throw the big Thanksgiving events and like people come to our place.
That's fun.
Yes, it is fun sometimes.
Well,
after all the stress and the prep and everything, and everyone, we all figure it out. No, it is great, but I am the funny one, and the thing that I'm trying to figure out how to hurdle is like whenever there's a dull moment, people are usually like, "Let's talk about Max." Like that, there's a common denominator that we all have, not in like a bad way, but it's like we can make fun of the one time that he did, and I'm usually down for that. I don't mind being made fun of or like, you know, kind of poked at in any way. I roll with the punches quite well, kind of. until I flip out. Like, everyone shut up. You don't know me. But there is definitely that, like, I'm the funny one, and if there's ever like a dull moment, they're like, cool, let's bring out the dancing monkey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's so funny. I feel like that sometimes,
Max,
too. It's like, dance,
stupid.
Monkey, dance. Yeah.
Max,
I feel
do
like
something
that,
stupid.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like 90%
of the time, I'm more than willing to dance.
Oh, of course.
And then there's
like
the
family,
10%
yeah.
of like, I don't want to. I don't feel like it right now.
It's funny that you say that, that you're more than willing to, because I'm the type of person where if I can make my mom and dad laugh, that's it. I'm good.
Then you're
that's
good.
It. I don't care if I don't get hired as
the
an actor.
The box is checked.
I can die tomorrow. Yeah. I'm fine. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you can make them, like, be happy, you know, that's it. You know what I mean?
But yeah, that's basically, that's my family.
So let's get super deep.
Okay. Hit me.
How about this? Okay. If today someone took away, your ability to smile. How would you show someone you're happy?
Kiss them. I just kiss them. Boy, girl, who met grandma, dead grandfather. I just dig into that grave and kiss them.
You son of a bitch.
Can I flip it on you?
Sure.
How would you emote happiness without breaking a smile?
I would just dance.
Yeah, that's fair.
Dance is usually...
Picture a dance with no facial expression. Just, bump, bump, bump.
But that's just creepy, though.
Yeah, it's like, God.
I'm just trying to ask random questions. When do you feel the most loneliest? There's times of the day where you just feel like, okay, this is how I feel.
Yeah, I feel that all the time, and I think I've narrowed it down to I'm a very independent person. Mm-hmm. I live alone, and I love living alone for now. But I have felt I have felt in the past maybe like 2 years. A feeling of loneliness starting to creep in. I go,
really?
Okay, when is that? When do I start to feel that? And it's times where I'm not maybe content with myself, mm-hmm. and I want to tell someone, and I have no one to tell.
Well, how do you work through that? What do you do?
Smoke weed. I'm kidding.
I mean,
it's usually, unfortunately, it's like either playing like a video game or watching a TV show to not feel, you know, to take your mind off of it.
Yeah.
But there are definitely times, but it's most of the time I can, like, I think I've said before, like, I can spend the day I can wake up, have nothing to do, never leave my apartment, mm-hmm. never put on pants. That's not
pretty
important, but I did it. Yeah. And I can go to bed and be like, great. I didn't even make a vocal cord. Like, I didn't make a single sound all day. And for the most part, those days are totally chill.
You got to tell me that you live by yourself in an apartment and you never talk to yourself.
That's not what I said. There are some days where I'm definitely talking. I'm like Robert Durst, like, of course I did.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I'm just like frying an egg. Like, of course I fried the egg like this, and I turn the heat up to here.
I'm home alone so much, and there's times where I'm like, if I were recording,
oh god, psychotic. Okay, no, there are plenty of days where I have full conversations with myself, and I'm an absolute psychopath.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are some days where I won't make a sound, and I'll go to bed, and I'll be like. Yeah, and that was the first, you know, sound I made.
Well, well, the day's over already, huh?
Right, right.
Wonder what tomorrow's going to be.
Of course I spent a day alone.
Yeah. I do that shit all the time.
Yeah, but
I'll just be sitting in the room and I'll just go, fuck you!
Yeah, yeah. I just have come up with arguments in my head just talking
But then
out
you
loud.
Only audibly say, like, the last part of it.
Yeah, and you're so like, oh, God, I really hope no one's watching me through the window or something. I'm usually not wearing clothes and I'm just talking to a wall.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely, that happens all the time. But no, with the loneliness thing, it's the days where I want to, like, since I work as an actor and you have very, like, weird schedules,
do
as well. And it's like, if it's a, you know, it's if it's a Tuesday at 1 p.m. and I'm feeling lonely, it's like, I can't call up some of my, you know, some people.
You don't
people.
Have that 9-to-5.
Right,
you see
exactly.
Your friends
yeah, and
work,
I can't call
you know?
Someone and like, hey, you want to get lunch? They're like, Max, I have a job.
Yeah,
like, I'm
yeah,
at
yeah.
work.
It's so funny you say that because I feel like that too.
Yeah,
know? Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So that's definitely one of the challenges of a freelance schedule.
Yeah.
So, you know, every once in a while it creeps
just
in.
Just keep yourself busy.
Yeah,
that's,
I just kind of,
is that the key? You know?
The thing,
that's basically what I do, you know?
Physical exercise is a huge
thing
sure. that I'm
getting those
better at now. Like, in no way should I am I promoting this idea because I'm like such a student to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting better at being like, if you're feeling like earlier today, for example, I woke up and I didn't have anything to do till this, and I was like lying there till like one, and I was like, don't do this again, don't do another waste day, and I like forced myself out of bed and I like went on a hike, and at the top of the mountain, I'm like, ah. I'm glad I did that.
No, it really,
so that's definitely
it really does help, you know, like sometimes
well.
I just go for a walk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just
and it
do
really
something.
Does help think of creative stuff. Like if I want to, like if I want to write something
definitely.
And I'm out of ideas, I'll just go for a walk. You know
yeah.
What I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it
that's
really
cool
does. Cause it, you see something, it could be a sticker on the ground or
right.
it could be a friendly face. Oh, it sparks an idea. It sparks
yeah.
sort of creative, you know, interest in something. And
definitely.
So you want to be able to use that.
Yeah. I think like it's fun to, it's not fun. Funny to think about when I started living alone. I think I was coming out of a very like exhausting year where I slept on couches for a year. Like I never got an apartment or
so
anything.
It was great.
It was great. Yeah. But I was craving alone time. Like I was living in New York for a bit and you can't like I love the reason I love LA is because I can be in my car with the doors and windows closed and like I can talk to myself like Robert Durst if I want. But you can't do that in New York. Like you're always around people and I really started to notice that it was bothering me. Like I wanted to sing at the time, I'd like, you know, belt one of my favorite songs at the top of my lungs, and I never could do that. I forgot where I was going with it.
Well,
so when I came back, I was like, I savored the alone time being in my apartment because I was such a much more social person at the time. Now I can feel like I can go through kind of slumps.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting. To
Well, let's just talk about your music.
Sure.
Yeah, you're in a band.
Yeah.
How do you start doing that?
Well, it's not like a band. I never know how to talk about it. It's more like a music project.
Sure.
But it's not like a set group of guys and we have like a text thread and we're show coming up on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how we would talk. No, I've played in bands before. I used to play in a ska punkish band called Slow Kids at Play, which was very popular back in the South Bay where I grew up during high school, end of high school into college. It was a lot of fun. It was like that perfect nexus of time where kids had finished high school and were just waiting to go to college, basically. And there was like that 6 months period where we didn't have anything to do, and people just wanted to party and drink. It was like senior year time, and we were the reason for people to do that. So we would always be playing little house parties, and that was really great. And I've always played music. I was in musical theater. I've studied music as well. So the latest project is called Drifters or Durfters. It's no vowels. DRFTRS. And it was basically, I mean, it was a couple of years after Slow Kids at Play had ended, and I've always just had as a hobby just to, like, write songs. I don't necessarily know if they're going to be songs, but I usually, like, I have a really weird way of writing songs. Like, mm-hmm. I'll just think of a cool line.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can show you, like, and on my notes, I'll just write it down.
And that kind of sparks.
Eventually, once I do that, like, you know, 6 or 7 times and I kind of have a bunch of one lines, mm-hmm. I can sit down and after, like, a pot of coffee, kind of figure out a way to thread them all together into some kind of story.
That's how Seth Rogen writes.
Really?
He writes, you know, that writer, his writing partner that he
yeah,
did,
yeah.
Like,
whatever
This
his
is
name
the End,
is,
Pineapple
something.
Express.
Yeah.
What they do is that they just jot down like an idea, or they'll
really?
Like something will happen to them, like at the grocery store, or like in high school, and they'll be like, "Hey, this is a funny situation."
That's a funny idea.
And they'll just grab all these funny things and then write a film about it.
And then
it,
start
know?
To thread it together.
Yeah,
oh, that's
yeah,
good
yeah.
to hear. Because
yeah,
I always,
yeah.
I would like, I never knew
there's
that was a
there's
good...
no right, right way to write.
Right.
You know what I mean?
The
like,
times
you just
that
do
I...
what you know.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, if someone saw how I wrote, they'd be like, "What are you like
what
manifesting?"
Is that? Right.
Yeah, like, no, it's just a bunch of words, and I'm gonna make a spine out of it soon.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay, well, that's good to hear. Yeah, so it could take me over a year to write a song. Mm-hmm. It just depends on when those stupid little
yeah.
lines, not stupid,
you
but...
You can teach yourself to do anything
these yeah,
days. Yeah,
but
know?
Every time I sit and try to force out, like, a song or, mm-hmm. you know, it's always garbage. I'm literally on my phone Googling what word rhymes with this, and it's like, that's not how you write a song. You
yeah,
can't,
yeah.
like, you know, just force couplets out of your butt. But anyways, after a while... out of my butt?
Okay.
My anus? Isn't
that
where couplets... That's where couplets come from.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so eventually with the Drifters Project, I realized it had been a couple of years, and I just over time had these notes basically on my phone, and I just started kind of turning them into songs, and just sat on it for a very long time until basically one day there was another project that I was working on that kind of fell down for a bit, and I had all this pent up energy, and I was like, okay, now's the time. I want to put my energy into something, so I put it into this Drifters Project, and for like...
Yeah.
6 months, me and this guy, Hunter Porter, who I think you have met. I don't think you guys have met yet.
No, I don't think so.
But Hunter Porter, he's one of my best friends, and he helped me just kind of like turn these songs into reality. And then I went to Julio Macias, our mm-hmm. very good mutual friend, and kind of gave him this idea of like, hey, man, I have these 5 songs. This is the story. It's... I have these.
I have to start this over.
Oh no! Oh, my name's not Max.
Yeah.
I just spent a lot of time and energy into making these songs and producing these songs and money. And I realized I was like, I don't even want to do this. I was like, this is just a hobby, like not like professionally.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
want to.
I should
be...
just be doing this when it's possible and fun.
Right. Exactly.
I shouldn't
like,
be
I've
like
been
blood,
spending
sweat,
so
and tears
much time.
This, yeah.
yeah. So I was like, okay, so how do I take this and spin it into the industry that I do
mm-hmm.
love and want to work?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not that I don't love music. I just never had wanted to be a touring musician.
Sure,
like,
sure,
it's
sure.
It's not my interest.
You don't care if it necessarily goes anywhere, but it feels good to do it.
Definitely. Definitely.
Cool, cool.
I hope that it
that's
goes.
That's also what
know,
she said.
Yeah. Exactly. There you go. All right. And that's this week's episode.
Thank you so much for joining us.
So I eventually called Julio and I was like, I have these 5 songs. I have this idea for a story and then we can put all the music in and just kind of have it. It's like a long music video.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, cool, let's do it. And like it's 6 grueling months of filming this thing. Basically how we shoot. It's like whenever we have free time and there's a free day that all of the schedules will work. We just got it done little by little. It was day by day. And finished it and came out with this whole like YouTube series and we're recutting it now to be like a short film.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was this like huge creative project that I'm really, really proud of.
Drifters,
yeah.
DRFTERS.
TRS, yeah, no vowels.
Oh.
Drifters.
Cool, man.
Yeah, so that's, yeah. So, and I continue to, I'll still keep making music, but it's always just been more therapeutic, if anything. More fun.
Yeah,
kind of like how Jeff Goldblum in LA has
yeah.
his Schnitzel Orchestra.
He plays at the Rockwell.
Exactly. He
yeah,
plays
yeah.
the Rockwell once
mm-hmm.
One night a month. And
mm-hmm.
like that would be the dream.
It's funny when every time an actor is also a musician, it doesn't matter if they're a bad musician, they're automatically good because it's like it's not their first possession.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Profession.
And
yeah.
I kind of plan on falling back on that.
yeah.
I'm like, well, yeah, his music's pretty fun, but you know, he's had that role on that one show.
Oh yeah.
This is the goal in
yeah,
the
exactly.
next decade. To be like, oh, Max is the guy from the one show. And, like,
yeah.
He has a band and they play
exactly.
at the place in Echo Park on
yeah,
Thursday.
Yeah, like Jason Schwartzman.
Exactly.
You know, Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The Bacon Brothers.
Yeah,
the Bacon Brothers.
Yeah.
All these guys.
Yeah. So that's kind of the goal with the
awesome,
music
man.
Thing. Yeah.
Cool,
yeah.
cool, cool.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to cut to a quick commercial.
Oh, yeah. We have a guy. Right. It's your turn, buddy.
Okay.
Okay.
a quick word from our sponsors. There is a company here in Los Angeles called Oils for Oils, and we have the owner here, David Shaboyle. Yes,
thank you, David here. Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, yeah. It is such a pleasure to come to the room where the conversations happen.
Yeah, this is it. This is my nice little humble abode.
This is not what you would think of when you listen to the podcast.
I know, right? You would think like a really cool studio, but it's just a bunch of cats and some weird photos on the wall.
Cats.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, Oils on Oils is what we had said. It is the company that I have. We are located in Silver Lake.
Of course. Where else would you be?
Right on Virgil and Sunset, which I think is Silver Lake. It might not be.
Those are actually parallel to each other. So.
Yes, yes. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Anyways, we have multiple oils for any type of use. Mm-hmm. Topical oils, you have to try our eucalyptus oil.
Mm-hmm.
You have any pain in your skin or joints?
Sure.
Screw CBD. That's a folks tail. Eucalyptus oil is the way to go. You say,
wow, you brought a lot of oils in.
Yes, this is our
about 157 oils.
Eucalyptus on ice.
Uh-huh.
You just dip your fingers in there and rub in your elbows and wait 30 to 40 minutes.
That's a long time.
Yeah, well, you get what, you know, it's important.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Just wanted to make sure.
It's important, okay?
Just go with it. Why are you grabbing me?
It's important.
Okay.
This is my business.
And how much is each bottle?
Oh, yes. Thank you for asking. So this eucalyptus on ice will go for $73.
That's not bad, actually.
For a full 12-ounce
You know, these days,
cup.
Essential oils are very expensive.
Yes.
You know, they can go up to the hundreds.
And the thing that
so that's
makes
pretty
us
fair price.
Cheap. Yeah, we do not do any international business. We are straight from the Los Angeles area.
But you're not from Los Angeles.
I am from France. I'm from France.
Okay. We are from France.
We are from France. We grow the eucalyptus in Los Angeles, eastern Los Angeles, in my backyard, actually, in Silver Lake.
Now, you brought a lot of bottles, but they're all eucalyptus?
No, we have one more, which is lavender. We have two kinds. And that's it. Well, those are the only two that people sell.
That is true. Those are the only ones you really need. Yeah.
Eucalyptus.
Besides those, the scents are just strange. Yeah.
And lavender is if you need to take a bath, any type of bath, hot one, cold one, any type of bath.
Yeah.
Lavender is the way to go. It opens up your senses and your nostrils, and you will feel much more peace.
Now, do you have a bundle for like holidays or special birthdays or anything
yes,
like that?
Yes, thank you for asking. We have for the upcoming holiday, which will be, 4th of July sale.
Yes.
For you Americans,
yeah.
We love 4th of July.
Yes.
What better way to celebrate than with a bath? We have a 4th of July bundle sale. You can get a 12-ounce icy eucalyptus for not $73, but $22.
Wow.
And the little tea dish of the lavender for $17 together. That makes $39 something something. For $40, you can get our 4th of July sale from Oils on Oils by me.
That's
David,
incredible.
David Bernhoff.
I think it was
David Byrne. David
Berdoyle.
Berdoyle. Thank you.
Whatever rhymes with oil.
Yes, that is my name. But yes, please come to oilsonoils.com and click on the 4th of July summer sale.
Mm-hmm.
And you can call us at 555-OIL with two L's.
Yeah, and if you use the code conversations from a room,
yes.
You get 20% off.
Yes, with that, yes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, David, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time. Your oils are great. And I
this
think
is for you, actually.
Oh,
you can
thank
have
you so much.
This, you and Maxwell. Oh, thanks, man. You guys can try this together and you can rub each other with the eucalyptus.
You know what? That sounds like a great idea.
Thank you.
All right. Well, best of luck.
Best of luck.
And now back to the show.
Hey, yeah, pleasure to meet you, man.
Wow, that guy
nice.
Was interesting, huh?
It smells great
it
in here.
It smells really good. Eucalyptus and a little
and
bit of lavender.
Yeah.
Sweet guy, too, man.
Was he?
Cool. Oh, he was super cool. I think he was from France. Not too sure.
I think he seemed
sounded
French.
Armenian. I can, yeah. I could be wrong, but
they usually, they're close together.
Yeah. They're right. It's like the backyard.
Yeah,
of,
just a hop, skip, and a whatever.
Hop, skip, and a bunch. All right, man. So let's get into the little. We're about an hour in, but let's just do whatever.
Okay. Okay.
Let's talk about the main theme of the show. We talk about
yes.
film.
Right.
I like to ask the guests specific questions. Okay. We're just gonna do whatever this time.
Okay. Yeah.
Change things up.
I have to preface, especially I am horrible at these types of conversations, so I'm gonna do my best.
It doesn't matter about what the name is, who is in it. It's a matter about the films that you remember growing up that you saw recently that really spoke to you.
Cool.
Like, what's a film recently that you watched that was really good? Something you've seen recently that really stuck out to you.
The one that stuck out to me in the past year, in this, I like the last like Oscars season. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did you see? It was with Timothée Chalamet and Steve Carell. Steve Carey. I told you I'm bad at names.
Steve Carey.
It was called.
Yeah, Beautiful Boy.
Beautiful Boy. Thank
you. Yeah. That one, you really like that one?
That one spoke,
actually, never saw it.
That one, yeah, that one was really powerful for me. I have close friends that have issues with like drug addiction and all that. So, and it tackles that. It's basically a father and son relationship as the son is kind of going down this rabbit hole with drug addiction.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that I was affected by, like, I thought I had like come to peace with a lot of situations. I was bawling that entire time. Yeah. Like in my room alone, just like head over heels.
Man.
I was upside down in bed. crying into my
That's incredible. Wow. Well, that really, I guess that really resonated with you, huh?
Yeah, that was a good movie. I thought this past year had a lot of really good ones.
Was it on Chalamet's part or Carell's part that really...
Chalamet's part. I mean, it's so, I try so hard to pick him apart because it's like he's getting so successful so fast, but it's like he deserves it. I think he's a fantastic actor. And he's supposedly really cool in real life, too. Yeah,
you know, he seems like he's really kind of honing like his position on each role, you know?
Yeah,
like he really understands
really
what
proven.
He needs to do.
He's taking the right roles too, which is really I'm admiring a lot. He's
which is hard to do because a lot of times as a young actor you just take whatever you can get.
Yeah,
you know what
like
I mean?
Take the franchise of whatever, you know, get into the Marvel universe as fast as you possibly can. You know, because then you don't have to work until you're 45 but he's taking these like smaller, more indie roles, but like really good roles, and it's definitely paying off for him.
Are there films or shows that you think about that you use as like homework as like an actor that you're like I don't, because I was talking to a friend of mine about this where it's hard for me to watch a show and not just look at it as like I'm learning from it, you know, because you don't, you know, especially if it's good dialogue,
right.
If it's good, you know, directing, but it mostly good acting. Like that's why I can't really get into like animations, because I'd like to see
people
on
screen.
I want to see their reactions. I want to see their faces. I want to see what they're doing with their body. You know what I mean? The way that they're moving and the way that they're speaking. I'd like to see that, because it's very interesting. Even the little subtle things mean a lot, and they go so far. So I take that and I use those things.
Interesting. That's I think that I probably do that subliminally, but I'm trying to think of if there's someone that I consciously
and it's not, it
follow
doesn't have to
and
be
admire,
someone,
right,
but it's just like maybe a show or a film where it's like, yeah, this is like this character in this movie I always think about a lot. You know what I mean?
I did watch The Sopranos recently because I had never watched it, and I was like, I know that
my
it's
parents
just
used
one
to love
those.
That show.
Yeah, and it's like it was really, really good.
Yeah,
to
I
watch.
Have to get into it. I haven't seen it yet.
It was a perfect show for our parents because it's all about like they're obviously Tony Soprano's doing his like mafia things, which you kind of can get with. But it's like when he comes home and his son is on AOL chat till midnight, and I was like, oh my god, that's what my dad, like that's why my dad loved this show, because Tony Soprano was just like, oh, he's like,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
just like Tony Soprano,
yeah, yeah, who
so
also is
killing
people,
yeah, right,
in the mafia,
yeah, right,
yeah.
But
which every dad wishes they were a part of.
right. But I remember, I mean, I started it being like, okay, I have to see what it's about because obviously it's the Sopranos, but then I was watching like James Gandolfini closely, of being like, this guy knows how to act, and like I want to see, okay, he gets thrown in this situation in this scene, how does he get out of that?
Exactly.
And so I was really like analytically watching him in a good way, just learning a lot from him. I think The Sopranos was great. Any type of show,
I think, especially it's getting rarer nowadays. I feel like there's so much television, which mm-hmm. is a great thing, mm-hmm. But there's so many shows that need these like ridiculous stakes, like mm-hmm. where, you know, you're a witch or a werewolf, you know, mm-hmm. there's all of those. But I think that I really get attracted to this more simple mm-hmm. shows. I mean, like Mad Men, for example. I was watching that in college, and I was like, it's really refreshing to just watch a normal yeah. drama with normal mm-hmm. things. Like I know. Donald Glover is getting a lot of praise for Atlanta, which yeah. is kind of the same, similar type of show. I don't know if season 2 has come out yet.
Atlanta?
Yeah.
I think it's like season 3 now, isn't it?
Oh, gosh. I have seen season 1.
Gotta catch up.
So I gotta catch up. But I usually am more attracted to those types yeah. of shows. More realistic
yeah,
drama.
Yeah, because you want, at the end of the day, like a Marvel film could be great because it's something bigger than what we are.
Right.
But there's nothing more romantic and more, I guess, it doesn't hit you harder as it does like a film just about normal people doing normal things.
Exactly.
And you relate to it so much more. And it kind of makes you feel less lonely. It makes you feel
definitely.
Less.
Because you can really be in yeah, that. Yeah, yeah. It's yeah, the exactly. same reason why people like love podcasts, yeah. for example. Like they just want to be in the room
exactly.
with those people existing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why when I try to write, I try to, you know, besides sketches, I try to write things that are just very real and in
yeah,
the moment. You
yeah.
know, it doesn't need to be this big avant-garde sort of thing.
Definitely.
It could just be like, almost to the point where it's so real that it's like, oh my gosh, I live that situation. You know
right,
what I mean? You
right,
know,
right.
It could be simple, like, you know, forgetting your bags in a grocery store, then you
yeah,
have to
like
the whole
like
episode could just be that.
The episode
yeah,
trying
yeah.
to find the bag.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's realistic.
And, you know,
thing,
it doesn't have
you know,
to be anything, it could just be that.
Yeah. So I think I'm more attracted to those types of shows and those mm-hmm. types of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
One, just as a human, because I can automatically relate to that. I mean, but not to knock that, like, I love how people love superhero movies because
mm-hmm.
they make them feel, you know, the more,
yeah.
you know, empower them. And I think that that's
they're
beautiful.
Fun.
Yeah. But I think I'm mostly attracted to those types of shows.
For sure.
Those things, especially as an actor, to watch how they do that.
I like to talk about guilty pleasure movies.
Ooh.
Do you have any guilty
Ooh.
Pleasure films?
Oh, guilty pleasure movies.
They can be really bad.
I've got a couple. I'm trying to think of the DVD. I have a small... It's a smaller DVD rack at my apartment now that everything's on the internet. I'm trying to... I mean... Any Jim Carrey movie.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
not even a guilty pleasure.
I've seen Liar
that's
Liar.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not a guilty pleasure
a guilty
because
movie.
They're all good movies.
Right.
Like, especially like the 90s. Like Liar yeah, Liar, The
was
Mask.
The prime time. Liar Liar
Russo
was on
Mighty.
HBO Films or HBO Go, the app,
yeah.
the other day, and I watched it and like cried laughing the entire
oh,
time.
Oh, it's hilarious.
It's
and
so
then
depressing.
cried because it's also very
it's
sentimental.
Done, right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
yeah. any Jim, I mean, this isn't a guilty pleasure at all, but like any Jim Carrey, I was just talking about this last night when Blockbuster was a thing. And when I was a kid, there was a Blockbuster like 4 blocks away.
For those millennials out
yeah.
there, Blockbuster used to be a
video
service
rental.
Where you can go rent DVDs from.
Yeah, and a DVD was a movie that you can stream, but
mm-hmm.
it was actually on
mm-hmm.
a CD
mm-hmm.
disc. A CD, by the way, was like, where do you get, how do
it's
you
It's like
tie
a vinyl, but smaller.
Right, yeah. Vinyl, you would know vinyl.
Yeah,
more
yeah,
because
those
CDs.
Are back.
Yeah, but that's not like a guilty pleasure. I don't know a guilty pleasure.
A lot of people say like Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
I've said like the
yeah.
DC movies, stuff
yeah.
like that, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, what's like I like to think of the movies that you grew up watching. Like,
grew up,
like
yeah.
Bad Boys is one of them. I would watch that like over.
Bad
I had this
Boys
this
is
period
a good one.
In like in college where if I were up late, like I had to study or I had to do like an assignment, I would turn on my TV because I kind of just like background noise.
Yeah.
And if it was Bad Boys 2, I had to watch the entire thing.
Nice.
And it was
oh,
always playing on HBO at one point.
And
so
you're just
I just had
always
to, yeah.
watching it.
And I had to, yeah, I had to watch it all the time. Yeah.
That's good. That's good. I'm
yeah.
trying to, I don't know. I'll have to sit on that one for a little bit. I'm maybe because there's some deep, dark secret that I haven't even exposed to myself
mm-hmm.
that I will watch over and over.
You know what it is? I think because people like us, like, even if a movie's terrible, we're still going to enjoy it, you know? Like, movies are still good, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, even if it's bad, it's just like, it's a movie. People worked hard
one.
To make this thing.
Yeah.
Any shows right now that you're watching that you can promote? Any ones that you're really into?
Holy crap. Well, I just finished Think You Should Leave.
Oh, finally.
Yeah.
Wasn't
which,
that a great
thank
show?
Thank you to you.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
amazing.
It's just one of those shows where you think about these sketches all the time, but
yeah.
you never really see them on TV.
On TV, and
they and
made
they
an
just,
entire
the,
show
if
about
you,
it.
It shows what you can do with a budget. It
right.
shows, because it's like, there's so, like, imagine walking into a room and be like, all right, guys, so the pilot, a guy is opening a door the wrong way. Yeah. All right, and then what happens? Nothing. No, that's he just opens it the wrong way.
It's uncomfortable eye contact for half an hour, you know,
it's
half
like,
a minute.
It's so experimental, and it's so goofy and fun. And, you know, the way that you shoot it, like, for example, did you see the honk if you're horny?
Yes, yes.
Like, that one's so good because it's so eerie and kind of creepy. And like, where is this going?
It's kind of scary. That guy is terrifying. Yeah. I see that guy on Twitter. I don't know what that guy's...
The guy who's driving the car? Yeah. Yeah, he's really funny.
He does these crazy videos.
You gotta take that sticker off your car! Yeah. You know?
He does these crazy videos on Twitter. And I don't follow him, but I see, like, you know, it's like, so-and-so liked this video. I watched the video. It's on my feed. And it's him... in the rain, like, going crazy on meth or something, staring into his phone. He's like, yeah, baby, like, we're gonna get him. I'm gonna run for president. And you just think it's this, like, meth head screaming at the top of his lungs. Eventually, I was like, this guy has to be a comedian. It's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever that guy's doing, it's obviously working because he's
the show's great, man. It's like, they don't care on whether they think it's gonna work or not. They just have a concept, and it's like the little things, like the fully loaded nachos. It's such a simple idea, but they make it into this bigger grand scheme of things.
Exactly. And I loved it was like we were talking about before. It's great to see that being done.
Exactly.
And kind of discomforting because that's obviously what we're trying to do with Fresh of Breath Air. A very similar style of comedy and absurdism.
You think it's gonna go one way, it goes the other. Exactly. And it's just like the whole argument's about something that you didn't even think it would be.
Right.
It's just silly and fun, and just like, and then that's it. 2-3 minutes tops,
and then move on.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
No,
which
it's
is
fun.
Perfect. So
you can watch the whole. For anyone who hasn't seen it, you can watch the entire series in like what, an hour?
An hour, definitely. Yeah, yeah. Like I think the episodes are like 15 to 20 minutes long.
Exactly. And there's only like 6 of them.
Yeah. So it was amazing. I blasted through that. Actually,
that's the best thing about Netflix is that you could put programs on there. Like if it was like a CBS show or TBS, you would have to have a full half hour or hour long show, at least 20 episodes. It's insane. Now you can have 6 episodes, 15 minutes each, put it out there,
that's it. It's interesting to watch because I feel like originally Netflix was competing with these networks and these, you know, a half hour programs. But now, since Netflix is already probably, I'm just going to make a safe assumption, surpass those. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, like, if it's not on Netflix, I don't know how to watch it.
Exactly, right?
Now, I think that one of their bigger competitors is YouTube. They're trying to take YouTube's viewers so they can do these 15-minute programs.
Not because YouTube has good stuff. That's just because everyone watches
it's just as
YouTube.
Accessible. So it's like Netflix, and that's what I do. It's like if I'm not watching Netflix, I'm probably on YouTube. That might be my guilty pleasure.
I don't spend a lot of time on YouTube. Oh, really?
I've random YouTube videos.
Really? I think for hours?
I don't know what it is, but it's like I think it's because I don't have to commit to something. But like I'll just turn on YouTube and like it has like your bar of recommended. Mm-hmm. And it's weird. I have like it's a lot of like late night talk shows. So I watch a lot of interviews.
Those are fun.
When they do the bits, like Fallon has great bits.
I love celebrities mean retweets.
On Kimmel, So it's strangely I watch way too many of those, and then there's just other things like the interviews and just bits, and then there's like Vine compilation. There are like 45-minute long Vine compilations,
and they're not even that funny.
I'll just lay in bed and watch. I did that this morning. I was just like, I'll go through. So I'm spending a lot of time watching YouTube videos over television shows. Which is embarrassing. That's my guilty pleasure. Mm-hmm. But I think Netflix is now maybe tapping into that, being like, okay, cool. We can do some more YouTube style content and take those viewers. I am making this all up, but I think that that's my
That can be. That checks out.
Yeah,
I only know.
Call
as much
me
as you
Netflix.
Do, so.
I have some ideas.
I'm the same way, man. But I'm on Instagram all the time. I'm just watching videos like carelessly just.
Going through,
you know?
I think that's. I mean, that's the way that the media is going, and I think that Netflix, which they are very smart, I think they're maybe going to be tapping into that more.
When do you think it's going to be when we have shows on Instagram?
Oh God, like longer than minute long things.
Yeah. Like a whole episode that's like
within
5 minute episodes.
Year. Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, people watch it on their phones nowadays. Yeah. Anyways,
you can watch a whole Avengers on your phone,
which is insane.
Yeah,
I was watching something. Billie Eilish, she's a big pop
sensation
girl. She's like self-proclaimed the biggest Office fan, mm-hmm. And she's watched the entire series like 17 times or something. So Rainn Wilson comes to her house and like quizzes her with these really hard-hitting questions, like little trivia. Like, what was the name that so-and-so brought to this one episode? And she knew the answer.
It was
kind of amazing. This is the shit I watch on YouTube. But she watches it on her phone. She's like, I've watched it 17 times, but
well,
on
the Office
phone,
is that type of thing that you can watch.
You can watch it, and it's not.
And it is good, it is important to think, like, nowadays when you film things, like, it doesn't always have to be like CGI. It doesn't
no,
have to be like
IMAX. No, because people are watching it, especially
it's
if it's on YouTube.
On your phones,
it's
yeah.
you know you
half
drop
the time
the
you're
link.
Watching shit on the toilet, man.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
That's so why when you make like these with these sketches, like, they don't have to be huge. You know,
cinematic.
Like, let's
feats.
Add this.
No.
Like, no, it's just one shot. Let's just be, you know, it's just have a joke, have it be fun, and then that's it. You know.
So I think, yeah,
that was the main idea, is to make it short, simple, and funny. You know what I mean? Because it's like we only have like a 7 second attention span, anyways.
Right.
So it's just like we want the next best thing, right? You know, right after the next. You know.
So funny. Later that night, so you showed Julio and I the first episode or two of that show. We went out later that night, and we were sitting at this place. And I could see this other couple at the end of the bar talking about the sketch with Vanessa Bayer of like,
oh yeah, why didn't you stand up for yourself?
Yeah. Oh no. That one's Cecily. The girls
at brunch.
Fat fucks.
Motherfuckers.
This guy was telling his friend about the sketch, and I like stopped Julio. I was like, stop whatever you're saying, stop. And I like called her over. I was like, are you guys talking about? I think you should leave. And they're like,
yeah.
And I was like, wait, we're just watching that.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. So. I think that show is doing some great things.
Yeah, when something hits, man, it fucking hits.
People are
That's
talking,
awesome.
And it starts buzzing.
Good, I'm glad for that show.
Oh, I'm so happy for it, yeah.
And it probably only took, like, what, a few months to make?
Probably,
it's
yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Whatever.
It's you know, to tell. I love shows like that. This is what I'll say. And I just started watching Easy, because you had suggested
Oh,
Easy.
Yeah, yeah, what do you think?
And I like it. I love those style shows.
That's another show where it's just very simple.
Exactly.
It's like, there's nothing bigger than just two people.
It's just real drama.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also another show that I'm a huge fan of is High Maintenance on
HBO. I haven't
seen
that one, but I heard it's good.
Yeah, it's on HBO. It started as a Vimeo thing. Mm-hmm. It was just this guy who made, like, 10 episodes on Vimeo.
That's basically YouTube.
Basically,
yeah.
And then HBO picked it up. Like,
that's amazing.
Like,
that's
make
it,
a YouTube
man.
Sketch and high HBO
That's
is
what
calling.
We're trying to do here,
right.
bro.
So, but that's a very similar concept of it kind of follows this weed dealer basically, mm-hmm. And then he goes into this apartment, like he could come in
and
here
it shows
and it's you and
story.
Rachel, and then the camera sticks on this and the rest of the episode is there, like whatever you know, if you're the character, it's you throughout your day and whatever shit you're going through. It doesn't have to tie
it's
in
vignettes.
It doesn't have to be I love those shows.
I think those are easy to shoot too, because it's like, all right, now what's gonna happen to this character? It's like, no,
it doesn't matter.
What's
it doesn't
happen
have to tie
is
back
every day,
in
like,
in a
our
clever
lives
way.
Are already weird enough
exactly.
that we can just write these stories.
Exactly.
You know? They're a little bit exaggerated,
yeah.
but just write these stories, you know?
So I'm a huge fan of those shows. Right
Watch
now.
Fleabag.
Okay.
You
I
have
will.
To.
I
it's
will.
So good. I just
you've,
started I've, it today.
You've suggested two things to me in the past week. I've started both.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll
that
start
one's great.
Fleabag as well.
It's just very simple, funny. It's just super cool.
Right.
Just, it's
I
very
love that.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm all about that. I love shows like that. I get so stressed thinking of these
just,
writers trying to be like, okay, and then the person turns into a witch, and then a volcano comes up, and it's like, just relax. And it's like, you guys are having relationship problems. Mm-hmm. Make an
exactly,
episode about
yeah.
that. Like, that's great.
It's when something, and it's almost
something
makes you
human.
Feel better.
Yeah.
Something
keep
human.
It human.
Only makes you feel better when they're in a rut, and it's like, I know exactly how you're
feeling.
Yeah. You know
keep
I mean?
It human for me, at least.
Yeah, you can trigger emotions with the most simplest thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm
and that's
watching
films.
Most.
Films
yeah.
and television.
Yeah.
We did pretty good on that one.
Yeah.
Good
okay.
job.
I did. I remembered names. I said Donald Glover. I'm woke. I'm woke.
Yeah, any music right now that you're kind of listening to, or stuff that you like that kind of like helps you? What type of music you listen to when you're just like out and about?
I listen to a lot of tying back to the Drifters thing. I kind of went into it. It's a very bluesy kind of. Mm-hmm. Southern rock, but mm-hmm. But it's kind of got like a very rootsy type of vibe to it. There's so I've started listening to a lot of those bands that I got hooked on, mm-hmm. and I still listen to those. So
those are kind of like my favorites.
I
usually go to. I'm trying to discover more. I know more of the mainstream ones. Like I think of bluesy. I say Alabama Shakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Black Eyed
Peas. Black Eyed Peas. Yeah, kind of bluesy.
You know, Black Keys. Yeah, yeah. Alabama Shakes.
Like
Tom Waits now
Tom,
and then.
Yeah.
You know,
there's like Gary Clark Jr. Jr. Oh, who's pretty mainstream now. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of those bands. Lucas Nelson, who's Willie Nelson's son.
Oh.
Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real. They're actually the band that Bradley Cooper plays with in A Star Is Born.
Wow.
And Lucas Nelson, I believe, wrote most, or like co-wrote most of those songs.
That's incredible. Apparently,
like, he's got a credit on the Shallow song.
Good for him, man.
They're great. I've seen him a couple of times. They're really, like, they're just like a, just a really, like, I don't want to sound like too like granola about it, but like a very like organic rock band,
but they're no synths, no processed sounds. Well, that's why I like Black Keys so much, because like they're old, the same way, it's just regular garage rock, rubber soul. No, that's Beatles. They're pretty good too, though. Have you heard them?
I think there was one. There was like the album. The name of this album is Brothers, which one of their popular ones.
Mm-hmm.
But yes,
so that's based like
El Camino.
El Camino is a great one too. Yeah. There's a bunch of them. Magic Potion's great too. Yeah.
So I like a lot of those sounds. Mm-hmm. So I got to try. There's like Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. He has that one song on the radio, mm-hmm. like "Son of a bitch, give me a drink." All of his albums are really great. That's obvious. That's his like radio hit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really great. But that kind of style, I don't know what to call it. It's like it's Southern rock, but I don't think a lot of them are blues rock. I've been listening to a lot of that.
Good, man.
I think it keeps me inspired because I want to
keep... American.
Yeah. I grew up in Southern California, so it was like Blink-182.
Oh, and for sure.
Anything that sounds like Blink-182. It was pop punk.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Green Day.
Yeah, it was all of them. It was punky, and then I had a very dramatic shift at the end of high school where I went reggae.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but like California white boy reggae. It was like the Expendables and
this
and
good slightly weed man.
Stupid. Yeah. But like that was the band that I was playing. Yeah. The Slow Kids kind of had a lot of
311.
Yeah. And that was my life. Like throughout college as well, it was all I was listening to. That was just mm-hmm. like. It just, but it put me in a happy mood all the time.
Did you go to the reggae festival with Julio?
No.
Oh, okay.
But we have gone to, we saw Slightly Stupid together.
Oh, that's awesome.
At the Greek Theater a couple of years ago. And I remember, I don't know if I should say this, but he had a very long joint and it was in gold paper. And we smoked it, and we went to Fred 62's mm-hmm. after, and we didn't speak for 2 hours. We ordered food, and we just sat in silence.
We left the concert early, just trying to survive.
Yeah, we left the concert early because it was like too much. We're like, we got to get out of here.
Really?
We went to Fred 62, and I think
did
we sat there and
sigh.
I fucking hope not. But it's Julio. You know, no, right. I'm kidding.
Like we said
that
at the same time. Love you, Julio.
Yeah. No, that was definitely the scene. And Julio really likes that music as well. So we had something.
Yeah, he loves reggae, man. Yeah. I went to the reggae festival with him. It was fun.
He did? Nice.
Yeah. We saw the Wailers. It was great.
But I listen to a lot of rock.
A lot of rock.
Right now it's kind of bluesy rock, but
same. I'm very much, if not like blues, it's always alternative.
Yeah.
It's always indie rock.
Anything that's like with guitars and mm-hmm. not a lot of electronic sound for me, I
when
can get behind.
When it sounds live.
When it sounds live. Exactly. It's definitely.
Yeah, also check out King Gizzard.
I like
they were
this,
pretty good.
Yeah. Something I like the idea of the band that goes through different genres. Mm-hmm. Like one album is kind of funky. I really respect that.
We don't have to talk about it too much, but is there any books you want to talk about? Anything you've been reading lately?
Yeah. I have been... I do read a lot of books.
Okay.
I read audiobooks as well for mm-hmm. like a you know paid gig.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to read a new one called I can't remember. I haven't started reading it yet, but I booked it.
Good. Yeah, like I said, you have a good voice. So
thank
that makes
you.
Sense.
Yeah. So right now I'm split between I read on a podcast or I listened to it an article. Some guy, he reads like 3 books at the same time. Because I'm kind of ADD, and I've been reading this one book for over a year. It's Sam Walton's biography. It's the guy who started Walmart. And it's just his story. And like, I'll pick it up and read a chapter and put it down for 2 months.
Yeah,
and then
same.
Pick it up. So same. I'm really bad at that. But
yeah.
What
I feel like a lot of people are like that. Too.
Yeah.
That's pretty normal.
What I've started to do is do that with a couple of books at the same mm-hmm. time. So like always have a biography, always have like a historical and then a novel at
the
same time.
I was just talking about this where I go from like books about writing.
Right.
You know, biographies or like fictional, you know, type books. I had to change it up because it kind of keeps it more
exactly,
you know, elevated.
Yeah,
you're more interested in it.
Yeah, I listen and then I do audiobooks. Or sorry, I listen to audiobooks as well. I just finished 2 weeks ago. It took me like all year to listen to. It was so long. It was John Steinbeck's East of Eden.
Oh, really?
Boring.
Boring. Yeah.
Yeah. It was so
you don't always gotta like them.
I would listen to it on my hikes, so mm-hmm. it was nice, and I'd go for like these 4-hour-long hikes and just be listening to this book, and it really, really worked. But there was so many. I would daze off for an hour mm-hmm. and then come back in and be like, I haven't been listening. Help.
Any book that you recommend for like artists?
Yeah. They're Just Kids by Patti Smith.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
I would say Just Kids is almost like a new artist's Bible.
Cool, man. Like a manifest or something like that?
Yeah, it was just this story. It's a story of Patti Smith, who's the singer. And I mean, but Patti Smith is one of those people who's like, she's not just a singer. She's an artist. She's mm-hmm. a writer, and she does all sorts of things. It's her growing up, or not growing up, but when she moved to New York City back in the 70s.
Sure.
And she befriended, one of her first friends was this famous photographer, Robert Mapplethorpe, which I didn't know who that was until I read it, but he basically took these like heavy hitting black and white photos, very kind of sexual photos, a lot of very like kind of BDSM. He himself was gay, living with AIDS, and then spoiler, he dies. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the book, he dies, and he kind of asks Patty, like, you know, tell our story. And so that's why she makes the book. But it's just this like really beautiful book of just these artists in New York not really knowing what they're going to do, but they want to do something. Yeah. And
it's
like,
those things that make you feel more... Oh, like it's like when you watch something, it makes you feel human.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. You just feel wet and you're in that, especially...
And it hits you different when it's a book.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It was just this... It's this great story, and I'd suggest it for anyone, especially like for me, it was me in my early 20s, and I had all this pent-up energy. I don't really know, but I like photography, and obviously I like acting, but I like music too. And she was kind of in the same style of like... She was just kind of in the scene in New York, but didn't really know what she was doing. And then eventually she makes Horses her album, and then she kind of gets a career going with music. But Just Kids by Patti Smith, and she has a couple of other books. There's another one that I finished called M Train. She's just a great writer and just a very like artistic mind, and she just kind of, if anything, they're like journal entries, and they're really, really nice
to
read.
Looking for a good book, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd say Patti Smith.
Oh man, that's a good one.
Just Kids is a really good one. Yeah.
The very last question I like to ask the guest is: what is your ultimate, your favorite, your go-to breakfast? What is your dream breakfast?
Ideally, it's in a European setting.
Okay.
If I can, you know, really paint the picture.
That's a first.
I want, there's a coffee and orange juice. I don't like grapefruit juice, but I love Pamplemousse LaCroix. I don't know how it works, but I don't like...
It's basically not...
It's not grapefruit at all. But there's a cup of coffee and orange juice. It's got to be scrambled eggs. I'm trying not to eat so much meat in the morning. I'm trying to limit my meat usage. My sister's a vegan. She's starting to rub off on me.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely scrambled eggs. Kind of a classic continental breakfast,
sure,
I guess.
Sure, toast,
coffee,
and then scrambled
something
eggs.
Something to bring on, you know, something after to go.
But you said I'm European. Where's the European?
It's got to be...
Like a croissant?
Yeah, but like I'm picturing eating it on like a European coastline. I know that that's not the food itself, but you know, setting is location is everything.
Because it's European, it's everything that you would eat as an American breakfast, but in smaller portions, in a smaller coffee cup.
Yeah, it's
cup,
a smaller coffee,
small portion,
but I'll have three of them.
Maybe two eggs, a croissant.
Yeah. And but like lots of room on the plate.
So like an American breakfast, but a fancy American breakfast.
A fancy
it can't
American
be like a diner where it's just like here's a bunch of fucking eggs.
But those are great too.
But those are great.
Like Denny's breakfast, like ruins my
whatever.
Stomach every time,
but I
keep going back.
So you like a nice, clean, toit continental breakfast.
Gotta be toit.
Yeah.
Gotta be, yeah. But caffeine has to be included. Like, there's gotta be.
You're a big
caffeine guy. I'm a big
caffeine
guy.
I drank a lot of coffee in college, so I think I hit the limit.
You hit that?
Yeah. Try tea, black tea, English breakfast.
I should do that.
Yeah. A little bit of cream.
Yeah.
You got the matcha. What'd you think of it, by the way?
I'm drinking a matcha right now. It's good.
Sounds
I would
a
have
lot
to
like
have
the essential oils.
What? No, that's this sound over here. The matcha is okay. I mean, I'm such a coffee. It's like I get a cold brew with almond milk at Starbucks all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
With a Starbucks sandwich. That's what I had for dinner on the way over here
at
Starbucks.
Yeah.
I eat a lot of food at Starbucks.
I never go to Starbucks.
It's good.
I go maybe
once
a year.
It's good that you don't go. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's good for you.
Yeah, I don't like big corporate companies.
Yeah, I suck at it.
But yeah, man, that's the show.
Yeah. That's the whole episode. All right. A continental U.S. breakfast, but not in the U.S. That's my final answer.
In Europe. Awesome.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say?
No. Just thank you. I'm glad we finally did this.
Yeah, man, this was fun.
We were trying to get this together
for a while.
We're
going
to
keep doing this, man. I want to get some more mics so we get all the guys together.
Yeah, that'd
be fun.
Do
some
fun
stuff.
That'd be fun.
But I just wanted to learn more about you and, you know, yourself and get personal.
I'm glad we did this.
You want to promote yourself, like, on social media? So if anyone wants to follow you?
Nah.
Yeah, me neither. but if you guys do want to check out Max, check out Drifters on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can also look for Max on Instagram. I will tag him on the post. So you guys can find
him. It's at Maxwell Hamilton.
Yeah.
All spelled
just in
out.
Case you want to see what he's up to and all that. Yeah. Look him up. And make sure to tune in soon in the future to see us on Fresh of Breath
Fresh
Air.
Fresh of Breath Air. Coming soon.
Coming soon, hopefully. Into a theater near you. So guys, yeah, please subscribe to the show. Leave a review, a rating. That would be really great. I want to thank Gilbert Louis-Ray for the theme. And that is the end of the show. I like to finish off the podcast like this. I start a sentence and I have the guest finish. Is that cool with you?
Done.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to Conversations from a Room. Have a nice night and...
stay awake when you're driving late at night.
Oh, yes. That is such a good thing. That has nothing to do with what we've been talking about.
If you take one thing with you from this conversation... don't fall asleep while driving. Anyways.
Yeah, stay awake while you're driving, guys. That's always important. That's a good PSA.
Yeah.
Good night and goodbye.